I don't know how Australia does it. It must be the water. They crank out the good stuff. ParanormalDate.com has arrived, everybody. Created by George Norrie and Mark Rawlings for the single person in our paranormal world. With now almost 37,000 members, if I wasn't married. The site is now mobile optimized and it's completely free to join. Check it out today. Just go to ParanormalDate.com. Use the promo code George. That's ParanormalDate.com. Yes, the news broke yesterday. Gravitational waves have been discovered. Albert Einstein referred to this in his general relativity. It is big news. Our guest tonight is Walter Cruttenden of the Binary Research Institute. We'll be taking your calls right after this break. I'll be right back. Stay right there. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George tonight. He took the night off. He will be back on Monday. Two of the greatest discoveries have happened in science in the last 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of the night. Follow us on Twitter. Interesting stuff on Twitter, by the way, at J Church Radio. And I was reading everything right there during the break. You guys are smart. At J Church Radio. Walter Cruttenden is the director of the Binary Research Institute right here in Newport Beach, California. Walter, you ready to take some calls?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. I'm going to go in order here. Let's go to Bill up in West Hartford, Connecticut. Bill, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Walter Cruttenden.
Yes, hi, Dr. Cruttenden. Hi, this is Bill from West Hartford, Connecticut. I am an amateur astronomer, so I know astronomy and space science and physics as an amateur. And I wanted to ask you a question regarding gravity as well as gravitational waves in relation to what is on the cutting edge of science now in 2016 that we haven't actually proved yet, but we're getting close to, and that's other dimensions and other universes. Other universes would involve the multiverse, and other dimensions in our universe would involve, I think, string theory, where our universe would be really 10 or 11 dimensions, of which seven or eight of them are curled up, and our dimension, our universe itself, has the three dimensions of space and one dimension of time. My question specifically that involves gravity, or maybe more specifically gravity waves, would gravity or gravitational waves be a way of getting information about other dimensions as well as other universes? For example, on the cosmic, in the cosmic microwave background, the CMB, from the Planck satellite and other instruments at the South Pole, like BICEP 2, they're looking for information, data, evidence of inflation. If they find certain B-mode gravity waves, which will prove inflation, help to give more evidence on the Big Bang, could these kind of things, like gravitational waves and B-modes, give us information about other universes that may have bumped into our early universe, as well as other dimensions in our own universe?
Hey, that's a great question, Bill, and it is one of the topics that actually came up in the public announcement today. Can gravity waves help us see strings? And of course, nobody knows yet. I think some people are still trying to figure out whether or not this sort of first finding is an anomaly, or whether we're going to find a lot more real soon. But, it's like having a new, we've just discovered a different type of telescope. It can help us see almost what you would call different dimensions, because remember we were talking about when X-ray and other forms of using the electromagnetic spectrum were first discovered, rather than just using visible light. It helped us to see things we couldn't see. And I bet the same thing is going to happen with gravity waves. So I'm hopeful, but way too early to say anything.
Thank you for the call, Bill. And that's a very interesting question. And I was trying to discuss this with you earlier, Walter. Bill, stay with us. I'm having a hard time to visualize this. And when you introduce this next idea, it's hard, and I want everybody to try to figure out a way to understand the importance and the significance of what we're talking about. Exactly. But see, Walter, that's exactly my point. It's hard. It's very hard to describe. I had read yesterday two different press releases that said this is certainly the most important discovery since, you know, and it's that heavy. And then when you read about it and you see the description and how LIGO did it and certain particles and they came in waves and they've, you know, illustrated it. But it's hard for people to understand how important it really is.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, we've had five senses, but we've only been using four, and we've just discovered that we can now see, but all we're seeing so far is a wall with one dot on it.
Right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Let's go to Jeff in Culver City, California, right here. Jeff, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy and Mr. Crittenden. Yes, I've always been fascinated with additional planets being discovered, especially rogue planets. You know, I had this weird dream in 2013 where I seen this huge planet. It looked like a gigantic metallic sphere, which had massive craters and cracks all around it. You know, this planet was, you know, it resembled a smoldering ball of fire, which was headed, you know, directly towards Earth. You know, that dream was so disturbing, I woke, you know, shaking. But my question is this, Mr. Crittenden. Given these latest discoveries with the possibility of a ninth or tenth planet, as well as the merger of those two giant black holes, which cause this gravitational wave, do you believe that there are rogue planets capable of coming up out of deep space and possibly destroying the Earth? And I'll take your answer off there.
Great question, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, so Jeff, yeah, that is a good question. You know, I think pretty much every scientist now would accept the idea that there are rogue planets, you know, because there's a lot of solar systems out there. Heck, when I was a kid, we didn't even know that other stars had planets. And now I think it's 60% of sun-like stars have planets, and they just keep finding more and more of them. The count's over 1,000. So it's highly likely that some of those planets, you know, were knocked loose early in the formation of those solar systems, or came too close to a star, and one of the planets was pulled off. So unfortunately, you know, planets, unlike stars, don't give off very much light, so they're very difficult to see. But yeah, you have to think they're out there. As to whether or not they can come close to Earth, you know, we've got literally billions of comets out towards the Oort cloud that are shooting in towards the sun, going around the sun, you know, the biggest mass here. And that happens year after year. And they, of course, you know, none of them have hit us in recent memory. So I would think it's pretty rare that a collision would actually happen. Space is so big, you can hardly even conceive of it. But just think of yourself in a gigantic football stadium, and there's a grain of sand, and that's the Earth. And then you drop another grain of sand from somewhere on the Earth, from somewhere, you know, high up, and it's got to hit that just randomly. So it's pretty rare that it would happen.
Is it possible for a rogue planet to just sneak up on us?
Well, you know, planets are darker, so they would be more difficult to spot. But as things get closer, you know, we do have groups like JPL that look for small objects, and they map them. Sometimes they don't see them until after they have passed Earth, you know. And so we're still at the very, very early stages of this, but I'm sure we're gonna, you know, have a much better map of everything in the next couple of decades, and then it'll be pretty surprising how many things are actually buzzing around us.
Next month, read this report yesterday or the day before. I don't know if you read this, Walter, but we're going to have a meteor that is going to, an asteroid that is going to pass by Earth next month, 11,000 miles, projected to be 30 meters across, 11,000 miles. And then they modified it, if you read, Or it could be 9 million miles away. And the reason why, and this is what's crazy, the last time it was by here, it passed by during the day. So they couldn't accurately track it. So that's the guess, between 11,000 miles or 9 million, but it's going to happen next month in March. How nuts is that?
That's pretty crazy. And something that size could do some serious damage, too. So
yeah, they were saying that it would be similar to what happened in Russia last year, right? And, you know, there were some people that were injured and, of course, you know, windows knocked out. But 30 meters across is pretty big to me. It doesn't seem small.
Yeah. I think that's actually quite a bit bigger than the estimate for the Russian asteroid. But golly, let's hope that it stays a safe distance away.
11,000 miles. You can definitely see that with the naked eye. Let's go to west of the Rockies, way west of the Rockies. Robert out in Hilo, Hawaii. Robert, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, what's up, brothers? How you guys doing?
Excellent.
Hey, man. I got one question for you. What happened to the probe that was on Mars? We never hear nothing about that for a long time. And gravity is like, when I was 8 years old, I could jump over one 6-foot fence, and now I say 50. So when I jump over the fence, I got to crawl up the fence. So gravity is the one that wins, yeah?
So first question there is, what happened to the Mars rover? I think it lasted a lot longer than its expected life. But it has batteries, and of course it has some solar cells, but they get very dusty. So I'd have to find out if that was the exact reason that it stopped or whether or not there was something else mechanical. But it's a machine, and it wears out, and it's difficult to communicate with. But it did last a lot longer than they expected.
Thank you for the call, Robert. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, I certainly posted it, the 360-degree image that is in the dunes over on Mars from Curiosity. And you can grab the image with your mouse and look at a 360-degree view in high def of Mars. And it's an incredible thing to go and play with. Not that it's everybody's cup of tea, but this is the thing, Walter, when you go and look at this, and for Bill, he should go and check this out, is you can see stuff. I'm serious, too. It's one of those, you just kind of scan around, and you just look, and you're like, no, you know what? That doesn't look right. And you can actually see it for yourself in high def. And you can point up and look at the sky and look at the sun, too, as well. It's pretty interesting. Let's go to a first-time caller line. Let's go to Nancy. She's right here in San Jose, California. Nancy, welcome to Coast AM.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy and excited to hear this program tonight because I have some information I'd like to give to you.
Go ahead, Nancy. What's that?
Okay. I've been studying the Urantia book. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Sure. Walter, are you? You've read Urantia.
I haven't read the whole thing, but I've certainly heard about parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you have for us, Nancy?
Okay, well, I've been studying on my own. This is the third time I've read the book. So I finally grasped it that what you guys are talking about, the gravity, what it is a spiritual gravity force that's happening. And I've been meditating for many, many years, over 16 years, and I've experienced already in my meditation going out there in the universe.
And what do you see, Nancy?
I saw all the beautiful planets and stars, and it's just so amazing. You have to experience it.
Did you have, well, okay, so when we're talking about gravity, Walter, stay with me on this. When we're talking about gravity waves, and as you did this, Nancy, was there a visualization of waves out there in the universe?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And did it feel, well, describe it for us. And then I don't know if you had a question for Walter.
Just about Urantia, because there's so much information there about the universes and the galaxies and super universes, and it just goes on and on. It's just so amazing.
Well, Walter will agree. I'll throw this right to Walter right now. I'll ask the question for you, Nancy, which is, Walter, all of the mythology and the books that cover this over millennia, it looks like somebody's right. You know what I mean? It's coming into focus.
And I would admit that there's a lot of sources of information and knowledge that don't come through, you know, traditional scientific channels. Some of the greatest discoveries, as a matter of fact, have come through dreams. Discovery of the DNA helix. And so I would agree that there's, information out there that we don't know. And it appears that you brought this up briefly, Jimmy, before the break, that it seems like we're becoming something larger, but we don't know quite what that is. And I love to look at that in terms of space. You know, first we find out about the Earth, and we realize there's a few planets out there, and then we realize, we're in a solar system, wow. And then we realize, there's a bunch of other stars, and they have solar systems too. And each of these breakthroughs sort of leads to, you know, more knowledge. And it seems like we're becoming something bigger. And maybe that's a spiritual concept or not. I'm not sure it's important what we call it, but I do agree there's a big picture there, and we're just at the very beginning of putting this puzzle together.
Thank you for the call, Nancy. Now, Walter, you just touched upon something that I find utterly fascinating, which is this. Science today, in fact, the world today, doesn't use imagination. Imagination got us to where we are right now. Going back to ships, you know, would fall over the horizon and disappear, right? Well, it took the guy with imagination to think about what's happening, or the solar system, or any specific discovery dealt with somebody that was willing to use his imagination and think outside the box when other people around him were saying no. It's not worth it. No, there's nothing there. It's not interesting. They didn't have imagination. And today, I think we seriously lack that. Nobody wants to step outside of the box. It takes people like you with imagination to think and then project and say, what if, and then go out and discover it. Am I right?
I tend to agree with you. I think there's a certain political correctness that says we must only operate by, you know, scientific processes, which is fairly myopic right now, versus, you know, we were talking about Einstein earlier. Golly, he's a guy that used great imagination. But you do have to apply math to it in order to get it to be accepted in a wider scientific circle.
I just got to say, Albert Einstein used his imagination. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George. He'll be back on Monday. Our guest is Walter Cruttenden, taking your calls right after this. Stay with us. How cool is it that you get Rob Halford, UFOs, Albert Einstein, gravity waves, and Walter Cruttenden in one show? That's what I'm talking about. I'll tell you a little quick story. It's going to take 15 seconds. Years ago, I used to work with Rob Halford, and I recorded him alone, the two of us, and he cut vocals sitting in a chair in shorts, and I took off the headphones and listened to him, and he sounded exactly like that. And I realized then I couldn't sing. Catch Beyond Belief, George Norrie's internet TV show, for dynamic discussions on the paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things that we talk about every night here on Coast to Coast. You can check out the current episode right now with David Weatherly and Black Eye Children. Just go to Coast to Coast AM or beyondbelief.com. You can sign up for just 99 cents a day for the first month and enjoy hours of fascinating shows. Just go to beyondbelief.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Walter Cruttenton, Gravity Waves, your calls right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. He took a day off. He'll be back on Monday. Our guest tonight is Walter Cruttenton. We're talking about gravity waves, Albert Einstein, the ninth planet. And, you know, for me, could E.T. ride that wave here? Or could we ride that wave out to him? I think that is the big question. Let's go back to the phones, Walter. Let's go to Mike, Wildcard Line, right here in Livermore, California. Mike, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, good morning, Jimmy, and, well, almost morning for us. Morning for a lot out there. And Walter, if I may call you that.
Yes.
Wonderful discussion tonight. I'm so glad you have allowed me to be involved in it. My question is intelligent design with this new discovery. I mean, my thought is that everything is so interconnected, and that without, I mean, like the butterfly effect that they say, you know, the beating of a wing can affect this and that and everything else, but there's got to be an intelligent design out there somewhere in all of this. And I think math proved it. The fact that Einstein knew about gravity waves before they happened, that there has to be a design. Or do you think it was random, just a big bang, and gee, everything just went chaotic, and then it just came to what it can be? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Walter.
Well, I think everything seems to have some kind of a design to it, whether or not we recognize what that design is. One of my favorite words, it's a Greek word called entelechy, and it's that which is inside something that knows what is becoming. And the common example given is a seed. You know, take an acorn. There's something inside an acorn that knows it is to become an oak and knows how to become an oak. And, you know, many of the great philosophers would say that we too have something like that inside of us. And so does the solar system and the universe have something like that inside of it from the point of the Big Bang. We just don't know what that is yet. Is it it's not as simple as an oak, but it's probably something just as great and wonderful.
Well, I think that just supports what I'm saying about intelligent design, that was put there in place by our creator, whoever that might be, whatever people think. Personally, myself, I'm a Christian. I believe that God created it all. But to me, this is a great discovery. The you know, to prove that there are gravity waves out there, because it just fits into the total design of everything. And I thank you again, Jimmy. Just thank you for getting me on, and love the show.
Thank you so much, Mike, and a great call. Walter, you know what? He brings up one of the best points, and he didn't even realize it. The Coast audience and the people that look at things outside of the box are really smart. You know, and they're trying to find the answers. This is just a call that came in tonight, and it's somebody trying to find the answers at a very, very intelligent level.
I agree, and it seems to be happening more and more around the planet, so perhaps we're at a neat part of the unfoldment of whatever the design is.
Say that again, unfoldment?
Yeah, I mean, if there is an intelligent design to things and they unfold to be something bigger and serve a larger purpose. It just seems like we're at a point on the planet where there's so many fundamental discoveries that it's a very neat part of the unfoldment. It's sort of like early spring, you know, where
right.
You go from winter and then suddenly, boom, everything's just bursting into
The unfoldment. Consider that stolen, Walter. That's now mine. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to East of the Rockies, Max in Segovia, Texas. Max, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay, Jimmy. I've called a couple times before. You probably remember me. I called when Andy was on and then with William Henry. This is my field. I'm self-taught. Paul LaViolette was an expert on gravity waves, still is. You might check into his thoughts on this. Let's see here. Judas Priest, great band. Rob Halford, I think he had a band called Fight after that. I'm not sure. Is that
absolutely
right? Okay, boss. And then you got IntelliKey. I love that word. I learned it in Jumpstart. And I love the way he said, you know, the planet or the solar system could have that too. And I love the Bill and Nancy. I think they were right on track. This planet could be like 3,600-year orbit with Santorini going off 3,600 years ago. Just worried about chemtrails still. Have you heard of the Horizon Project?
I don't think I have.
No, neither have
okay.
I.
I studied that some. I think there's a guy from the binary place there in San Antonio at Southwest. Is that right?
I'm not familiar with it. What is the Horizon Project?
The Horizon Project.
Horizon.
They studied all the stuff about, like, Planet X, Nibiru, and then scientifically, and then they had so proven it to themselves scientifically that they went back and studied all the legends and stuff. And tried to correlate them. At the Southwest, I think it's Research Institute. I think there was a guy with the binary planet thing. Yeah, most of the stars are binary, like 80% or more. This one coming March 5th, that's an asteroid. They were saying it might be 10,000 miles near to Earth. And then let's see, what else?
Well, hey Max. Max.
But
thank
you. Happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers and lovers to be.
Thank you so much, Max. Thank you so much, and have a great night. Let's go to James right here in Los Angeles, California. James on the Wild Card Line. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Great.
Good. Right away, I started thinking of the Coral Castle in Florida. This guy, you can look it up on YouTube, this guy, you know, Ed's lead scoutman.
Sure.
Some people think he used anti-gravity technology. So my questions are, do these gravity waves that you discovered, do they have a frequency? If so, is there more than one frequency? And if so, could you possibly negate or counteract these gravity waves with in maybe like an equal or opposite sound wave frequency in order to move, you know, to make things levitate or move? What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you for the call, James. And actually, that's a great question, isn't it? And what is a wave? First off, is light a wave or not? And is gravity, if gravity is now a wave, is it not gravity anymore? Right?
Yeah. Well, it seems that certain events can cause gravity waves, and it may even take place on a smaller scale that we just can't measure yet. But yes, in the public release of the information, they actually talk about gravity waves in terms of sound, and made a recording because it's you can pick it up just with our range of hearing, which is kind of interesting. And so yes, you can play that, and it's on the internet, and it's a little bit of a snap, crackle, and pop. But yes, there's definitely a frequency there, and I don't think, you know, the whole full spectrum has been mapped by any means. But it's one of these tools that we can use then now to discover sort of what else is out there. How big is the universe? What are the hidden structures?
What is the relevance in between the, I think relevance is the wrong word, I meant to say the repeating of the wave. Obviously a crest and it dips because that's how the wave is created. What is the cycle between those right now that they have measured at LIGO?
So it's really, really short. So they played a clip, and I think it was, about a half a second clip. And the wave that passed through the two LIGO sites was actually just a portion of that. So I think it's less than 10th of a second. But still, you know, they're measuring this thing very, very carefully so they can spread it out. But you can see the sort of the noise of the planet. You know, there's earthquakes and atmospheric pressures and stuff like that, and that's sort of the normal movement. And then suddenly these bars come along that are swinging back and forth, and they're, you know, probably 5x, 10x what the normal noise is. And it was so distinguished and so identical at two completely different sites that's the waveform that they have determined is, you know, due to these black holes combining some 1.3 billion light years away.
And a tenth of a second to me is at least audible. It's not a millionth of a second, you know, something that's ridiculous that we couldn't hear. But when we're starting to deal with tenths of a second or a half a second, this is significant. This is something that is not only audible, but you can almost see.
Yes, yeah, and well within the range of our current instruments. And it is audible, and I encourage anybody that's interested to go to the National Science site and play it. You know, they've also played, you know, what the sun sounds like. They've recorded that, but that isn't within our current range of hearing. And so in order to make that audible, I think you have to speed it up something like 50 times because the sun's tone is so low. But this, ironically, is within our range of hearing.
Let's go to Wildcard Kelly out in Florida. Kelly, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Walter Cruttenden.
Hello, Walter.
Kelly.
Well, to get started with, I'm a big fan of Douglas Adams and Dirk Gently's holistic connectivity of everything. And tonight's show has brought me thinking of years of experience that I have with electricity dating back to the 70s, with how the way we use electricity, and finally brought electricity to recognize it as the fourth state of matter, like plasma. Is it possible that there's a new form of electricity that we don't yet know how to even measure, or just a new, I guess, wave form of electricity that affects pretty much the universe? You know, because from my understanding, a lot of things like galactic swirls and stuff like that can be replicated in the laboratory using plasma forms. And a lot of the people who experiment with plasma say that a lot of galactic things, you know, larger universal things. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're listening. You've got us on the edge of seats here.
I think I understand the question, and there's actually a scientist we've worked with, and he's spoken at our conference on precession and ancient knowledge, CPAC, and his name is John Daring. He works at a think tank, SARA, Scientific Applications Research Associates, and he has hypothesized that there are actually five electricities. And so it's not that far out of thought. It's just that we've just come out of the dark ages, 300 years ago, 400 years ago with the Renaissance. And I think, you know, it's discoveries like the last few weeks that will help us better understand and really determine and prove these things. And that's, of course, that's what we've got to do, prove them sort of beyond a shadow of a doubt and do the math to get it widely accepted and embraced in the consciousness.
Thank you for the call, Kelly. Let's get one more in, and let's go to Bob, west of the Rockies, way west, out there in Maui, Hawaii. Bob, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, aloha. Jimmy, yeah, it's great to hear you. You know, you're my second favorite host on the show, actually, we say George is number one.
And he is, but thank you for the, Bob is a paid,
Yeah, right, I am. Walter, do you remember being out here in Ola Walla going up the canyon to look at the petroglyphs?
I sure do, Bob.
Hey, Bob, let me jump in. Walter and I talked about this on the air 2 weeks ago, didn't we, Walter?
Yeah, we just barely mentioned it, but...
What are the odds? Yeah, thank you, Bob.
What are the odds that we would meet on Coast to Coast, and then Walter said he'd meet me at the store the next day, and we did.
I remember the whole story. This is fascinating, Walter. This is great.
And
hey, Bob.
We're probably about out of time, but I wanted to mention, I think this gravitivity thing is like what they used to call the electric universe. I don't know.
It's kind of funny when we talk about intelligent design, the electric universe, everything being connected and everything done with intention, and discoveries like this happen, it just makes me wonder.
It makes me wonder how Walter and I ever met. I took him up to my house, and he couldn't meet my wife that day because she'd just fallen down and broke her wrist. So she was in pain in the bedroom.
Yeah, well, I figured I was in Maui, and... whenever there's an ancient site, petroglyph, I'm on it.
Yeah, I'm so there.
Great to talk to you, Walter.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call, Bob. And Walter, really quick, before we run out of time, tell us about CPAC. Where is it? Who's going to speak this time around?
Sure. Yeah, this year it will be at the Westin. That's in Rancho Mirage, California. And it'll take place September 30 through, the first few days of October. There'll be about a dozen speakers. Dr. Robert Schock, the geologist from Boston University that sort of, put forth a new thinking on the Sphinx and much of Egypt and now Göbekli Tepe, Turkey. We'll be talking about some of his latest discoveries. Chris Dunn will be there, who you probably know, and we're really trying to investigate how much the ancients knew. So invite people to come, and you can find out more information at CPAC Online. That's CPACOnline.com.
When we talk about, I want to ask you a couple of things directly. When we talk about intelligent design, and we involve not only the thought of gravity, and gravity waves, light waves, mathematics, calculations, and we bring it all back to us here on Earth. Do you think, what is your position on this? Do you think there is a creator, that there's somebody really smart out there that has planned all of this in advance? And we're not talking about Darwin, we're not talking about accidents, and we're not talking about evolution, that there's somebody out there really intelligent that is laying out everything for us?
You know, I'm actually a pretty religious person, and a lot of scientists I know are also religious. It's just that, we can't talk about that because, to get it widely accepted, we have to use math and scientific theory. And so, I think you'd be surprised at the number of scientists that are actually looking for the creator just through scientific means.
Thank you so much, Walter. Fascinating conversation tonight. Thank you for staying up late with us and taking calls. Thank you so much, Walter Cruttenden, everybody, the director of the Binary Research Institute, CPAC. Go check it out online. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls right after this. Stay with us.